Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Does knowing why we do something change the way we do it? Does knowing why we do something change the way we do it? We can scoot back one, if that's okay. Yep, cool. Does knowing why we do something change the way we do it? I can tell you when our kids, I ask our kids to clean up a room that they've just left messy, it can seem like the hardest project, right? I'll come back into the room and one of them will be like laying down and like picking up things with their feet and like slowly transferring them into a box. Or like someone else will have been distracted and actually gotten out more toys. Someone's passed out asleep. And they're all just like, Dad, it's just too hard. We can't do this. But if there's ever an incentive on the table, it's a completely different story. Right? If we'll run out of time to go to the park if we don't pack away in time, or there's some kind of snack waiting for them downstairs, or they'll miss out on a game if they're too slow, suddenly it's like watching one of those time lapse on the home renovation shows where like they kind of like just construct it and do everything like amazingly. It's pretty remarkable, and we're kind of like, oh wow, look, they do know where those things go and that they can do it. But without that motivation, they struggle. In a more serious way, I remember in youth ministry I was involved in at my previous church, there were quite a few boys who tended to approach the Bible like a manual, all right? Where we'd have Bible study each week. I could see them kind of, they'd try and jump straight to application without really wanting to understand or reflect in any way. All right? It was an attitude of, look, just tell me what it is that I need to do. What does it say that I need to do? And then I'll do it. Now, to be clear, what I'm not saying is that they thought that they were saved by what they do, all right? That they would say that they're not saved by what they do and only by Jesus who offers forgiveness for sin. But they still knew that Jesus forgiving us, that following him led to a changed life. And they just couldn't help but hyper-fixate on that practical side of things. It was a very task-oriented understanding of what it meant to be a Christian without recognizing that being a Christian is a relationship, where God has reconciled us to him by his Spirit in the Word, and we're able to know him better and grow closer to him. And it's that relationship that then leads to change and shapes what we do. And for a teenage boy, a relationship with God can feel like a pretty abstract concept, but it shouldn't. And I warned them, if they kept fixating on a life of do's and don'ts without any context or reason for it, they'd burn out. And sadly for some of them, that ended up being the case. Focusing on deeds without working on our hearts is unsustainable, but more importantly, it's ultimately futile. And this term, you guys know, we're looking at the book of Proverbs, which focuses on wisdom. And wisdom is also a practical thing. It's also one of those things that feeds into what we do or don't do. And we heard last week that wisdom, it goes beyond knowledge. It applies what we know into the choices we make. You don't simply measure wisdom with IQ or by what someone knows. You observe it as they demonstrate wisdom in their life, in their behavior, in their choices and decisions. But of course, our choices and decisions are still informed by the way we see the world, aren't they? And so in the same way, living wisely in action doesn't work without a transformed heart that understands the world correctly. And today we'll see from Proverbs 3 that the wise person doesn't just do something, they also know why they do it. It's the understanding that leads to action, and you can't separate the two. But how do we attain the wisdom that comes from a transformed heart that understands the world correctly? That's the question we're wrestling with today. How do we attain the wisdom that comes from a transformed heart? And the first point I want to unpack for us from Proverbs 3 is this. Don't be wise. Don't be wise. I don't know if this occurred to you when Proverbs 3 was read for a moment ago, but for a book that seems so concerned with the importance of wisdom, isn't it interesting that in all the exhortations in this passage, this passage has for us, pursuing wisdom isn't one of them. It doesn't say, go and be wise, pursue wisdom, focus on being wise as you can. Ironically, the exhortation for wisdom here is to not be wise, at least in the way we think of it. Have a look at verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So really what it's saying is, don't be wise in your own eyes. What you think wisdom is, don't be that. Don't fixate on what you think wisdom looks like and chase after that. Put that aside and fix your eyes on God. And the reason is because we don't naturally grasp what true wisdom really is. Our instinctive understanding of wisdom is misguided. If we were left to ourselves and our own nature, our heart is going to have a very distorted idea of what wisdom looks like. So if we approach wisdom by just obsessing over it, I need wisdom, without the context of God who defines wisdom, then all we're actually doing is emulating what we with our misguided hearts think wisdom looks like. Last week we were reminded that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, which means you don't find wisdom by chasing after wisdom. You find wisdom by chasing after God. Don't chase after wisdom. Chase after God. Have a look at chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So see God for who he is and fear him. See yourself for who you really are and kneel before him. And if your life is centered on God, fearing him with an ever-deepening appreciation for who he is, that's when you'll grow in true wisdom. When we stop chasing after what we think is wise and start chasing after God is ironically when we are finally able to see the world around us with the perspective of real wisdom. Because without that fundamental context of knowing God and fearing him, we can't properly understand reality or the world we live in. We might make observations from what we perceive about the world and develop some superficial wisdom from that. But what's wise in our own eyes is foolishness if we're seeing creation without the context of its creator. Worldly wisdom might work in the moment, but it doesn't hold up in the big picture. Who's seen Kung Fu Panda? Are there any other fans? Oh, yes, great. You're my people. All right, it's so good. If you have, some of you might remember Master Oogway, okay? So this is a super old and a super wise tortoise, okay, who is always imparting wisdom to Po, the panda, who's the main character of the movie, always giving wisdom. Here's one of his pearls of wisdom now. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. That sounds wise, right? I mean, first of all, it rhymes. So clearly wise, the credibility just skyrockets for me once we have rhyming, okay? Also, it has a pun, right, with the word present, pretty clever. And it does have legitimate practical application, right? We can't undo what has happened. We don't know exactly what will happen, but the moment of time we're in always carries opportunity, so make the most of it, right? That's real practical wisdom, and I can see the logic in it, right? And we use this kind of wisdom and this kind of reason and logic every day. Right? Some of you know this about me already, so sorry if you've heard this, but I've eaten enough KFC to know that it's not wise to hold a Zinger box by the handle. Okay, unless you want your lunch sprawled all over the ground. Okay, those handles are a trap. They are purely decorative. Don't trust them. All right. I've also learned that, you know, with those KFC wet wipe packets, that anyone who actually needs to use the wet wipe can't open the wet wipe. Right? Oh, what cruel irony that a fool will reach for a wipe when they need it, but a wise person will open their wipe when they don't need it. See, I could make my own book of Proverbs, right? Come find me later. I've got plenty to share. I was going to joke that's from the book of John, but there actually is a book of John, so that might be heresy. But you get my point. There's lots of worldly wisdom that we can develop based on our own experiences and the experiences of those before us, right? Whether it's how we use our money, how we maintain our physical health, how we manage our study or workload, or as simple as what do we decide to pack for a snow trip, okay? Experiences and statistics can obviously help us make better decisions, but it has a limit. And the limit is how much perspective and context we actually have as we make these judgments. Ultimately, packing the right gear for your snow trip doesn't matter if you didn't step back and realize you don't have enough money for this snow trip. Exercising regularly will only do so much if you don't also know how to eat healthy. Worldly wisdom that brings us satisfaction in this life is foolishness if our eternity is ultimately spent in torment. Because we didn't fear God as Lord, we didn't see our need for Him as our Savior, and we thought we could wisely understand creation without understanding the Creator. Come with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, so this is in the New Testament, and Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He's challenging them with a bit of a wake-up call about having this eternal perspective. He's talking about things more broadly than wisdom, but that eternal perspective, we can see that there. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And He, Jesus, said to all, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when He comes in His glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels." You might observe enough about the world around you to make decisions that seem successful in the context of this life, but that's foolishness if it comes at the cost of your eternity. You can't have real wisdom without fearing God. And because our nature is to reject God, to put creation above the Creator, that means you also can't have real wisdom without a transformed heart. Because that's how we fear God. That's how we know who He is. Real wisdom needs a transformed heart. Have a look back at Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read from the start now. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Real wisdom needs a transformed heart. Have a look at verse 1. "My son, do not forget My teaching, but let your heart keep My commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." So rather than being wise in our own eyes, we should be focusing on God and being shaped by Him from the inside out. Not making the mistake that some of my old youth boys did and thinking that following commandments was just a matter of what we do. But like it says in verse 1, keeping God's commandments in our hearts, aligning our will with His. In the same way the teacher was encouraging the listeners to keep My commandments in your heart. Like it says in verse 3, binding love and faithfulness around our neck and writing them on the tablets of our hearts. Like it says in verse 5, leaning not on our own understanding, but trusting God as our source of truth with all our heart. As we heard before in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Real wisdom and a transformed heart are inseparable. Okay, you can't have real wisdom without this change in your heart, and you also can't have a truly changed heart without it leading to some degree of real wisdom. And we see this in the way that Jesus spoke about the heart as well. Come with me now to Matthew 15. This is the last place we'll go. Matthew 15. We heard this read for us before. Matthew 15 from verse 10. And again, this is Jesus talking to His disciples, and He's talking about the significance of the heart, among other things. Verse 10. Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. "And He, Jesus, called the people to Him and said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person.' Then the disciples came and said to Him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to not eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. So what we do or say on the outside flows out of what's our heart, in our heart on the inside, for better or worse. Jesus is talking about a principle far broader than just wisdom, but because we know that wisdom begins with a fear of the Lord, which is not just something you know, but is an attitude, that fear of the Lord, wisdom is a key example of this. All right, those old youth boys of mine didn't get this. They were thinking of Christianity as kind of a lifestyle, where it's just about living a certain way, just remembering the things that you do or don't do. It wasn't clicking for them that this is a relationship with God. And if our approach to what's right or wrong, wise or foolish, is to just ignore our hearts and just focus on our actions, it won't last. They found it really hard to shift that focus onto their hearts. But they aren't unique in that. It's hard for us too. Heart work is hard work. Why do you think Jesus had to explain himself so thoroughly, even to his disciples, even to Peter? Why is it so much harder for us to work on our hearts than it is to just focus on our behavior? Kind of makes sense when you think about it, right? When you feel tempted to say something rude, which is easier? To just keep it to yourself and not say the comment? Or to do the work on your heart so that those rude thoughts no longer even come to mind? It can feel easier in the short term to change our behavior without working on our hearts because it requires less self-awareness from us, less confronting our own sin, less repentance, and less turning from idols to treasure God as number one in our hearts. Rather than dealing with sin, we just find ways to hide it. However, in the long term, trying to sustain behavior without a heart that it flows naturally out of isn't possible. That's actually the harder thing to do in the long term. Human nature will keep returning to sin. Ultimately, what's in our heart will flow out of us one way or another. And without God's intervention in us, that's only going to end badly. Changing our hearts happens through God's word, which is living and active within us. It happens by the Holy Spirit at work in us, and it happens through us working on our hearts, enabled by the Holy Spirit. As we repent, as we put sin to death, as we nurture our relationship with God, leading us to love him more, just as nurturing any relationship builds love. Wisdom is understanding reality and choosing to live rightly in light of that reality. When God speaks to us in his word, he opens our eyes to reality and changes our hearts to live in light of that. Which means without a change in our hearts that understands reality in light of God, we can't operate with real wisdom. We can't grow in wisdom without a changed heart, and our heart won't change without God. So as we pursue wisdom, don't pursue wisdom. Pursue God and you'll find wisdom. I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you are a gracious God in so many ways that we can't count, but particularly as we see the work that you do in our hearts of stone, turning them to a heart of flesh, transforming our heart to not only know of you, but to fear you. Please give us that reverence for you as creator over all creation, to have that eternal perspective, that perspective of you as the maker of all things, so that we see the world as you made it, in light of you. And in response to that, please grow us in wisdom from our transformed heart. In your son's name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.